Oh, so off to work I go. You said it, brother.
Speak the truth.
So crack open a nice cold Bud Light, oh bar to the bumper. Thanks to you, I know it's perfectly all right to honk if I'm horny.
Honk, honk, beep, beep, honk.
Bud Light Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Power Master is your ASA series sponsor for the XS Power Batteries. Power Master is pleased to announce the introduction of the XS Power series of batteries. XX Power Batteries for racing applications and batteries for your car audio application. 12-volt batteries for street machines, street rods, off-road vehicles, and even motorcycles. XS Power Batteries means 30% more power and no battery spilling. Power Master also carries your starters and alternators. Visit us on the web at www.powermastermotorsports.com.
You like that, don't you? You like
oh,
that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I love it. I love it.
Woohoo! We're having lots of fun up here in the tower.
Inside yeah. Florida Racing, having another great show.
Well, you know, we're calling it the Anderson Factor. I mean, you got Jeff Choquette, who's one of the top guns driving for Dick Anderson, and the other one is, of course, Wayne Anderson in the number 84. And welcome to Inside Florida Racing, Wayne.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Anytime, Wayne. What's happening?
Just working on my hot rod here, there, Bonehead.
Yeah. Well,
at least you managed to avoid running into Bonehead on. I was telling him I even played the piece from Days of Thunder. I mean, he hit everything but the pace car out there on Saturday night. I mean,
well, I'll tell you what, Jack. We took 5 race cars down there, and I think 2 of them got Bonehead.
Yeah, I appreciate that. But you know, one time it was okay because the oil pump broke, it locked up, so. Probably broke a valve spring or something. I ain't had a chance to check it out, but that's usually
before
what happens.
That motor up, you gonna get you a spec motor now, Rob?
Nah, I don't know. I didn't tear the motor up. I better not have. Don't say that.
Hi, Wayne. It's CC Brooks. Congratulations on your 3rd place finish Saturday night. It was a great race. I really enjoyed watching you.
Well, I appreciate that. It was that was kind of one of my worst runs down there. It's a shame that I wasn't a little more on my game than I was Saturday night.
Well, it was still, I was out there with the rest of the fans, and we all really, you know, appreciated the effort that, you know, everybody put out there on Saturday night. We all had a great time.
Well I tell you what, Port Charlotte has really, or Charlotte County Speedway, Punta Gorda, they have really come a long ways, haven't they?
Yeah.
Oh, it's wonderful now. It's like a real racetrack.
Every time I go there, I just see the improvements, and I'm just, I'm really happy for Bobby. I really see a lot of people. I don't want to say just Bobby, but there's a lot of people there put a lot of hard work in, and I'll tell you what, it's starting to pay off down there.
Well, it was certainly a good showing of cars that we had for the race the other night. You know, I'm sad to hear that you weren't on your game because I thought when I just ran a tenth slower than you in qualifying, I was really happy.
Well, I tell you what, it was a good run for you.
Now, Wayne, you're heading up this weekend to the Governor's Cup, correct?
Yes, absolutely. I sure am.
Tell us about how your plan is to win this thing. What's some strategy you're working on?
Well, I tell you right now, since they've paved the place, it is extremely fast. And the last time I went over there, maybe a month ago, and I went over there with my old car, my old motor, and I tell you what, I got my tail handed to me.
Yeah, that bad, huh?
That bad. You got to have all you got and hope you got enough motor now. And we just got our Ford motor back from Jeff Hamner, and I feel real good going into this weekend.
So Ford's going to be the trick, huh?
Well, I hope so. You know, they're fast one that while they're alive. I've ran this thing, I think, 6 times this year, and it's tore up twice on me. So, you know, look at the percentages. Hopefully it's I just got it back. It's fresh, and I hope it's going to be really good for the next little bit for me.
So tell everybody now, Wayne, you don't have to really blow out exactly what you're going to do, but give us your thoughts on this 200 laps and pit strategy and stuff like that, because I just heard somebody talk about what they thought Wayne was going to do. He's going to run 135 laps, and then he was going to pit.
Well, I tell you what, whoever told you is pretty good. I just feel like if I pit early, there's usually a big wreck after that. Every right. time I seem like I pit early, you're trying to miss a big wreck. If I pit late, it seems like that they've already... Well, let me put this to you this way. I pitted 2 years ago. I pitted late, and I got to Mike Fritz's bumper at the finish line, and I needed like 2 more laps. So you can't wait too late, and you can't do it too early, as far as I'm concerned.
Now, how many laps go by, Wayne, while you're in the pits at that track during the race? You go down a couple laps when you pit?
Well, no, because the way they have the rules in Sunbelt Series is you can't lose a lap, Rob.
Okay.
You know, you can pit during caution if it takes you five laps, as long as there's five, you know, as long as the caution's still out, you can pull out and you ain't lost a single lap.
Okay.
You know, but you will lose your spot. If you come in third and, you know, a couple guys beat you out of the pits, you could be fifth, sixth, or seventh.
Yeah, well, let's take a scenario that'll never happen. Let's say it goes green for 125 laps.
I'm hit when the caution comes out.
What if the caution doesn't come out?
Well,
you know, it's a crazy what if, but
well, I'm gonna tell you the what if. You're kind of right, but I'm gonna run until I'm out of gas.
There you go.
So is it more based on listening to, listening to your car and the feel that you're getting and what the car lead cars in front of you or around you is going to help you make the decision of when you're going to go in?
You're kind of right. You're dead on there. I mean, if I'm running third or fourth in the top two or three pit, and I'm starting to go away, I'm gonna pit with them.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully my guys in the pits are going to get me ahead of a couple, and I'm going to come out a little better than they were.
So you've never won this cup before, right?
I've won it twice.
You have won it twice.
Yeah. Twice, so then you're really familiar then what all is involved here.
Oh, yeah. I've been racing that race since 1988, and my dad has won it twice, and I've won it twice. So I feel very privileged to have won that.
I bet you do, because looking at the field of guys that have raced over the years there, and looking at the top 10 stats, man, there's all kinds of drivers in there mixed in right in with your name when you were racing.
But Wayne, do you feel any pressure since you are a two-time past winner? Do you feel any pressure, any performance pressure for coming up this Saturday?
You know, no, I don't. I used to feel like I have a ton of pressure on me, but, you know, I have been fortunate enough to win about every single major short track race in the state.
Mm-hmm.
I have nothing to prove to nobody.
Well, you know,
that's a great attitude to be going into the race with.
Well, that's why Wayne's so cool at the racetrack. He's yeah. really never too keyed up, you know.
Cece, give you an idea. Wayne won the race in '99.
Okay.
Came in second in 2001.
Mm-hmm.
Won it in 2003. Came in second in 2005. Like that.
Yeah, been very fortunate. I think last year I led the most laps. I think I led 140 laps before I got caught up in a wreck. So
wow,
you know, let me tell you something. I have a great car owner who puts a lot of effort into my racing, and it's really paid off. He has given me the equipment that I need to run up front, and I've had that equipment since 2003, and I think my wins have showed that. And it's just, you know, you just have to be at the right place at the right time. It's no different than a snowball derby. You just have to have your pitting right, and when it's your time, it's your time, and you just have to be on your game.
Tell us about your car owner, man.
My car owner is Larry Calabrese. He's out of Hialeah. He owns Airframe International, and they rebuild airplane wings and nose and instrument clusters and all that stuff right down there in Miami. And he's just a dedicated car owner, and he's been with me now. I think we're on 5 years, and we're as good of friends as we are business partners.
Yeah, I did see quite a few cars Saturday night that said Airframe on it.
Yes, like you said, spinning me out.
That's right. That's right.
But, I mean, I'm not mad at anybody, but, you know,
no,
that's just racing.
Here's the thing, and I think Rob will agree to this. It's becoming a new era. Young kids.
Absolutely.
You know, at times I just want to pull my hair out.
Well, Wayne, how do you feel about the 13 and 14-year-olds that were out on the track with you Saturday night?
Well,
you can't
mixed
say
emotions. You know, first thing is, you know, one of them was my son.
Yeah, I was going to say, you can't say anything bad about him because it was his son.
I don't, let me tell you something.
Yeah, but do you worry racing against them? Or is it sort of in the back of your mind to watch out for them?
Well, here's your problem you have. When one of them 13 or 14 or 15-year-olds knock you out, and it's like, hey, I've been doing this for 20 years. I'm not ready for a 15-year-old to come in and turn me around.
Right.
How do you handle it? I used to handle it with fisticuffs, and that ain't really got me very far in racing.
Mm-hmm.
What do? You know, it just puts you in a bad spot, and I feel like at times it puts a lot of other drivers in a bad spot. And I'm just as, you know, I feel like I'm talking out both sides of my mouth because I have my son running out there. But the reason why I have him run a late model is he was very fortunate to win the Quick Kids Championship over in the Fast Car Series this year. And we'd go there, and these parents are putting four tires on their kid's truck, and we're spending $100 getting in, $100 in fuel, and by the time it was over with, spending $600 or $700 to run for a trophy. Well, I have an old late model here that I put Randy in, and he can run my old tires. He's there with me, and it's something I relate to. I've worked on these late models for so long, I know right where I'm at. These trucks, they're metric chassis. They're stuff that I haven't really fooled with, and I just felt like it was just best for me to put him in this late model and let him just start out. And that's what the plan was the other night, was just for him to run till he got lapped, and then he was supposed to pull out.
And your son, that's the number 86, Randy, right?
Yes.
Well, so let's talk a little. Take your dad hat off now, and let's keep that driver's hat on, and let's talk about these young drivers, because they asked me about it earlier, and I was sort of the same way, mixed emotions. You know, I thought that the other night, really, that they weren't an issue any more than some of the guys we've been driving with for years, the way they drive.
And you know what? You hit the nail on the head, and I appreciate you making that comment, you know, because it's different for me to put Randy in a late model than it is other people. I'm just fortunate enough that we have a few late models here. He's able to run some of our old takeoffs and old stuff. I ain't spending a ton of money for him to race that. And I just felt like the way Bobby has everything set up down there, that you can spend so much track time, you get so much seat time in them late models down there, or any race vehicle down there. He gives you a lot of time to be on the racetrack. And I just felt like that was a start for Randy, and I plan on keeping him there for quite a while.
That's great. Now, the young drivers like this, they don't do they show up at the Governor's Cup?
I want to hope that they don't.
Okay.
It's not something they could do.
Kurt Jett was he's a kind of young one. He finished 10th, I think, last year. Mm-hmm. You know Kurt, right?
Yes.
Yeah, I think he was about the youngest they had there.
You need some racing seat time, really, to perform at that racetrack. Mm-hmm. You know, Jeff Choquette came in there and he won with that car, but he'd had a lot of seat time. Okay, he'd had a lot of seat time. So you take some of these kids that are racing these cars, say, that have been racing the trucks, or like his son Randy.
Oh yeah, again.
You would not want to throw them in that kind of situation, because I agree with him. In the short tracks that we have here, these quarter mile tracks, really, that we're racing on, that's the perfect place for them to be, as long as they've got somebody on the radio that's helping them. You know, hey, when this guy's faster, if you're holding a whole line of cars up, then just let's move over, and you can still learn mm-hmm. how to race behind them.
Yes, Jeff was young. Jeff Choquette was young when he went and won the Governor's Cup, but he was no rookie. He had been racing against the top late model dirt racers in the country.
Yeah, but let me just tell you this. When Jeff Choquette came in there, his first year of racing, he was there. I raced with him a little bit at Bradenton, and he actually won the Governor's Cup, I think, his first year.
That's right.
Was really good to race with. The second year, the kid was a weapon.
Right.
And now I feel like he's kind of got his talent back, and he's racing a racer like he should. And that's the biggest problem I see, that maybe Rob would understand, or different other late model drivers would understand. We've been doing this for a long time, and when a young kid comes in with not very much experience, runs all over top of you, you're very upset. It's like, hey, you know, we've been here a long time. Am I running over you? Have I ran over?
That's right.
No, I haven't. And it's not appreciated.
Well, that's what makes a real rounded driver is, I'm the same way. I try my damnedest not to spin anybody out. If I'm put to the rear and I'm trying to make my way to the front, man, I'll ride behind you and ride behind you until I get that moment to go. But getting turned around by some of these young guys, it does work on us a little bit. I think that we're going to get over it, because the young guys are eventually going to take over.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. So. And I've been one of the ones, and I tell you, you know, and like I say, I'm not the best one to talk to about it, because I've sat here and went against basically everything that I've talked about for the last two or three years, was putting these young kids in these late models. And, you know, like the other night, the car that came out of my race car shop was Matt Bowers in the 84X. Caused numerous cautions. Did the kid mean to? Absolutely did not mean to. But did he do it? Yeah, he did. And, you know, you just got to look at what you know, and they wanted to kind of go to New Smyrna, and I just felt very strongly against it. And after Saturday night, they believed in that, and they thought that, hey, they're not ready to go to New Smyrna.
So then is Matt a new driver?
He's... he's ran a few times in a limited late model or a truck and all that, but he was under the Mark Martin development program. And when Ginn pulled out, it left a lot of them young drivers on the sidelines. And basically, he came over to my shop, and we took a car that he had bought. It just happened to be one of my old cars, and we went to work on it. He went down there, he qualified sixth. And if he would have just finished the race, he'd had one of the most outstanding performances. It was just starting, qualifying sixth, and finishing with the fenders on, but gotten a bunch of little altercations, and it's a shame because very, very nice young boy, and you just hate to see that.
And he'll learn, Wayne, just like when we started, what he should do in a super late model race is he should start in the rear and work your way to the front. That's how I learned how to race. My first late model races I ever raced, I started in the back. My first Florida Pro races I started in the back because my dad used to tell me, son, you ain't ever going to be any good getting passed. You got to learn how to pass people. And the way you do that is to start in the back, start work your way up. So, you know, different dads, they think different ways, and they've got the money now to put these kids in there. I know that you and I didn't get a chance to race the late model when we were any of those ages. Things have changed. That's all there is to it.
Yeah, well, basically for me, you know, I think my dad would have put me in a late model if he would have had the money, because I felt like I spent enough time in the race car shop learning that thing. But he didn't have it. But you know what he had? Had a lot of knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And I soaked it all in, and I knew more about a race car before I ever drove it. So times have changed. Things are different. Like I say, my son's got a long way to go. Long way to go. But you got to start somewhere. And I just felt like down at Charlotte County Speedway, with the amount of track time that they give you down there, it was the best place for my son to start.
Yeah, there's nothing like racing track time, because practice track time is only that. What you learn during a 100-lap race where you have to be in that car till the race is over and deal with it every corner, every lap, that's where you really do learn. So he definitely learned some things the other night, I bet.
Well, let me add to this. The reason why my son pulled out the other night, he didn't get lapped. It's just that his radio went dead, and he didn't feel comfortable out there without somebody talking to him.
Yeah,
that's
cool.
He made a wise choice then.
And I got to give him credit for that. And we, you know what, we brought this race car home. All the fenders are on it. He didn't tear nothing up.
There you go.
And go again. So, like I said, we've probably gotten off track of what you all called me about, but I have mixed emotions with young drivers. And you know, what are we going to do? You know, I mean, it's just a new era.
Well, I guess as a mom and a race fan, I couldn't ever imagine as a parent what that would feel like. But I think your son has a great advantage because of the fact of all your experience and knowledge that he's, you know, getting from you and the guidance that you give him, you know, really makes a difference as compared to maybe some a young boy that's being put into racing from a dad that doesn't have the racing background to guide him.
Well, the dads that are smart go find the people who have the knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
There you go.
And they hire them. And that's basically what Matt Bauer's father did. He come and found me. And then I was going to be, you know, I was going to have my hands full down there this past weekend, so I asked my dad to go. My dad went down there and helped him. And like I say, the outcome didn't come out like we wanted it to. But all in all, I thought the kid did a very good job of getting behind the wheel and getting after it. And there's kids that you have to turn around and you have to push them to go fast, and there's kids that you got to, you know, try to slow down.
Well, mm-hmm.
It just so happens Matt Bowers is one that you got to try to slow down. And, you know, I'm not saying that my son's not one that I kind of have to push forward. So there's just different kids out there. And as long as, you know, they have an education, they don't act like a punk,
mm-hmm.
they put forth the effort, some of these kids will make it.
I think there's something to what you say there about after they drive for a year or a season or so, and then the next season they come back because they think they know everything, and they turn into weapons out there. It is definitely good that you're getting a chance to train some of these guys and teach them and maybe help them through that. I think that's like a learning curve, you know, when you think that you know what you're doing because you can make it happen, but really you don't.
You know, I'm going to tell you just like, you know, what my dad told me. He goes, Wayne, I can't tell you everything to do right, but but I've done a lot of things wrong, and I can tell you what not to do. and that is so true.
Yep.
And that's how my whole racing career has been. And I've been very fortunate to win a lot of races, a lot of big races, a lot of big-time races, and go a lot of different places. And I'm just, you know, I've been very successful at late model racing. I'm very fortunate. I'm fortunate enough to give my son an opportunity. And, you know, it's just you got to take the good with the good and the bad with the bad. And my whole career has been like a roller coaster.
Wayne, didn't you finish every lap of every race of a season in the All-Pro division?
Yeah, and finished in the top 10 in every single race. First time in the history of NASCAR that was ever done.
Wow.
Every lap of every race that they race that season.
Mm-hmm.
It's amazing.
That's an amazing feat. Wayne, you're an amazing character for sure. There's no doubt. You're a definite great race car driver and a good friend. Always happy to talk to Wayne inside the garage area, you know, in the pits. And he's always very helpful, has always been helpful in my, you know, in my small career that I have. But I've gone to Wayne quite a bit.
Well, I appreciate that. And, you know, just like the other night, hey, we all ain't perfect. I was on the outside of a very good friend of mine, old Dave Pletcher. Very mm-hmm. good racer. He's won a lot of races. And you know, we went down the corner, and, hell, I turned down on top of him. I had to go over to Dave after the race and go, Dave, you know, I apologize. I mean, I just ran over top of you down in the corner. But that's racers to racers. You know, a lot of things, people run over somebody, and they don't ever say a word. And I have a lot of respect for Dave Pletcher. And, you know,
absolutely.
I made a mistake the other night. I drove right over top of him. And I had to be man enough to walk down there and tell him I had to apologize. And after 20 years of racing and the races I won, I still went down there and told him I was sorry.
Wayne, I'd like to get your opinion about this. You know, we asked your dad about his thoughts on Ocala, and I'm sure you'll echo what he said. You know, he talked about you. You probably wouldn't like it because you got the place figured out and like that. And that led into him saying how the, you know, what worried him and concerned him was the racetracks going away, and he hated to see that. And CeCe asked him about why that was. And, you know, it was amazing what he said, because he talked about how the drivers need to support their tracks more and maybe not be so critical of the track owners and the promoters. Even, you know, it's like he said, you know, he doesn't agree with all the stuff track promoters do, but we're past the time where we can complain about them so much. We need to support the tracks in order to make sure that they survive. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, let me just tell you this. That's one of the reasons why I went down and took 5 race cars down to Bobby Deal's racetrack down there at Charlotte County Motorsports Park, because I want to see the guy survive. I want to see him make it. And, you know, if it takes me doing that, I'll do it. And as far as Ocala going dirt, Mike Peters, very good friend of mine, and I have to tip my hat to him. He manned up and decided to go to dirt, and I don't blame him. The place was stalemate. You know, he tried Friday nights not to try to go against Citrus County or maybe Bronx or Lake City. He tried to do it on Friday nights, and everything is just like, you know, what amazes me, and it's happened all over this country, these racetracks will put up big money, $10,000 to win, $7,500 to win, and the cars don't show up. It's mind-boggling to me. But, you know, they'll go to a race where it pays $1,500 to win, you get 25 cars. The racetrack pays $10,000 to win, you know, you can't get 15.
It's all timing.
You're right. And it's a lot of the promoters, I have to say, in this state are mainly open the racetrack up on Saturday, cut the grass, and open the gates and get you in there. And I see a lot of racetracks like that, and it's a shame to say they do not promote it. Sunbelt Series, past champion myself, I just don't see it being promoted. I just see it as, hey, we're going to have a race over here on Saturday night, August 12th, you know, y'all come. I don't see no promotion put into it, and that's what I think racetracks are lacking. It takes a lot of promotion. And I have, you know, I went down to Fort Charlotte, and I told Bobby, I said, Bobby, you know, you were with me, Jack. I said, man, the place down a little bit in the pits here. You know, the grass is a little up. I mean, it don't take much effort to paint some of this stuff around here. And he said, Wayne, I only got so much time on my hands. I'm out trying to talk to people at Walmart, talk to people at Budweiser. I can't do it all, man. you know, I can't get it all done. There's only so much money I have to work with, and I have to give him. You know, it took me a minute to walk away and think about that. He's 100% correct. I mean, it just takes a lot of effort. It's more effort than us racers realize to take and go into the promoting part of it. We think it's, hey, if we had this, we'd do this different, we'd do that different. And until we get on the other side and step into them shoes, probably don't know all what really goes on.
It's definitely a tougher game than what people realize. And, you know, but Bobby's got it figured out good because, you know, he's made himself a place that even these poor guys that get put on probation, they can go work their hours off over there and paint the place up. How about that? Tell me he's not smart.
But Jack, am I right in what I'm saying?
Absolutely, man. I agree.
Back to the racetrack, and everything was done what I was talking about, wasn't it?
Yep. Yeah, that's right.
And, you know, I tip my hat to him.
I had thought about that since that day we talked about that. I thought about that several times, and you're absolutely right.
You know, there's only so many hours in a week, and I just, like I tell you, I give Bobby Deal credit. Hey, people like him, people don't like him. It's no different than the race drivers. People like me, people hate me, and Bonehead can agree with that. And
nobody really hates me, though.
he hasn't won enough races yet for people.
Hey, listen, Wayne, nobody hates me except for the track officials.
Aw, no, come on, I don't think that's true.
But you know, and going back to Ocala, I think it's the spark that they need. I hate to see that. That racetrack has been so good to me.
Yeah.
And I hate to see it go dirt. But I think it's something, I'm going to be a spectator myself going up there because I haven't seen much dirt racing. I want to go see it.
You know? Why don't you get a dirt car and go to the Powell Memorial?
Well, don't think that might not happen.
I bet you it will.
I tell you what, Wayne, we're going to have to run because Mike Peters is actually listening to this show, and he's waiting for us to call him. And we have a bunch of questions to ask him about the move and whatnot. And I was up there Saturday night, by the way, or Friday night, and I talked to a lot of fans, just people in the grandstands hanging out, getting their grub, you know, and whatever, and talked to a lot of the drivers. And other than, I mean, I didn't find any fans who didn't think it was kind of exciting. You know, I ran into a few of the older drivers who, you know, change wasn't such a good thing, but all the youngsters wanted it. They thought it would be.
Let me tell you something. Jack, you guys have been around almost every track in this state. Is there not a finer facility than Ocala Speedway?
No, sir.
And them people, like I was telling you, a lot of racetracks, they just want to cut the grass Saturday morning, open the gates at noon, and race. That place, they're working every day. You call it Ocala Speedway, you're going to get somebody. You go by there, you'll see somebody out there working.
Yeah, you got the good lighting, you got the good grandstands, and the facilities are great. So.
We'll make sure that we tell Mike Peters that he has your blessing.
Yeah, well, not only that, how many dirt tracks are you going to go to? You pull in the pits and they're paved.
That's right.
Yeah, he won't tear that pavement up.
All the best to him, and like I say, I want to tip my hat to the people at Charlotte County. They are trying hard. They're working hard. The place has changed. And every time I go, I see something a little different done. And I thank you guys very much for calling me and asking me my opinion. Sometimes they're not what people want to hear, but I can only be honest with you guys.
That's all we want.
We'll be really excited on Saturday. We'll be there, and maybe you'll be holding up that trophy for the third time, man.
You never know. I hope so, too. Thank you, guys.
Take it
Good
easy,
luck
Wayne.
Saturday night, Wayne.
Bye now.
All right.
Bye.
There you have it. Wayne Anderson, number 84. Usually tears up the track there at Charlotte County. He usually wins every one of them races that he's at.
Man.
So he was tooth off for two.
Yeah, he was not being the kind of, like I was telling when Dick was on, I've seen a man jump up on the outside and do stuff. People go, you can't do that here. Well, you can. He can.
It's getting harder and harder. The cars are getting faster and faster.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you what, it's time to go dirt racing again, huh?
Let's do it. Let's do what we're going to do. Where's Mike Peters at?
Yeah, let's. We'll see if we can hook him up. We'll be right back.
Bud Light. presents Real Men of Genius. Real Men of Genius. Today we salute you, Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Mr. Fantasy Football Manager Guy.
Every year you assemble your closest friends to prepare for another season in the knockdown, drag-out world of make-believe football.
Fourth and inches.
You were born with the one skill every manager needs to play fantasy football. Absolutely.